What's this about a wiener in the ring?
Yeah, so that happened during a commercial break. Somebody threw a wiener into the ring, and then Jericho made a big deal out of it. I mean, that's entertaining for the live crowd when that happens. And it wasn't on TV, so, I mean, that's just Jericho being a really experienced guy, knowing their live crowd's going to love this, so I'm going to do this. And then when it came back on TV, we were none the wiser, and it seemed all serious once again. So I thought it was quite delightful, actually.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I thought that was great. Now they've got all kinds of clips like the bubbly and everything online.
Yeah, now he's got the wiener!
I know! This guy is fucking money. Okay, we should
It's going to be champagne and hot dogs is what... that's the new Jericho meal. Champagne and hot dogs. Bubbly and wieners.
Oh my God, that's so good. Yeah, amen to that.
I can hardly wait. I'm going to meet you at the gate. Hot dogs.
Welcome to a midweek edition of Sunday Night's Main Event, a special bonus edition for all of you out there. And the reason we're doing this is because, of course, the Wednesday Night War happened last night, and it was bananas. For wrestling fans everywhere, everybody's paying attention, so we decided to throw up a midweek show. It is myself, Jason Agnew, your regular weekly host, and I'm joined this week by Bartender Dave. Hello, David.
Hooray! Hey, Jason, how you doing? How long has it been since we've done something like this?
Well, you and I actually started doing this way back when we were working with Live Audio Wrestling doing What's Next, and my Skype said it's been over a year since I've talked to you on Skype, so there you go.
Oh, my goodness, that's a long time. It's weird. The show seems like a lot more mature now and like non-millennial. I kind of like it.
Okay. So, David, though, let's start things off here with the Wednesday Night War, and let's chat about how we watched this last night. I mean, you know, I can't remember the last time I was so – I can remember, actually. And it was when Impact – it was when Impact decided to go against Raw on Monday nights. I had a group of people over. I set up two televisions. You had your kids last night. Andrada was working. Mouth and Joe were doing their own thing. So nobody got together. But, I mean, I had two screens. I had my computer that was streaming NXT because I was streaming a USA Network feed. And then luckily, finally, TSN here in Canada came through and we got the television feed of AEW, and it was happening on my TV. That's how I watched things both at the same time, which was so fun and so refreshing to be able to do this again. And for us in Canada, really the first time, aside from that Impact night, because if you go back to the Monday Night War, we never got them simultaneously.
No, that was, what was that, 2010 or something like that?
That was Impact, but I mean the Monday Night War for WCW.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
No,
because it was
1999,
always
1999, 2000. Yeah. We were never able to get them because TSN had the rights to both.
That's right, yeah. And it would, they'd air it later on in the evening, right? So you couldn't do it side by each.
Exactly.
Side by each. Yeah, okay. You know what I mean. But yeah, I did the exact same thing. Like last night I had the kids and we were all excited. Well, I was really excited. They were kind of like, okay, well, as long as we have our iPads, we'll be fine. But we both got into it. We were watching like TSN. God bless the people at TSN for coming through for us. And we got that feed and it was beautiful. Like it kind of scared me at the beginning there, though, right at the start, because it was such a long black screen before it came on. And I'm like, oh, man, are they already screwing up? But it was really cool. And then you gave me a good place to watch NXT because here in Canada, we can't watch it. So. Which, well, not until tonight, right? It comes up tonight, does it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be on the network tonight. One thing that I have found out about this is that wrestling fans don't understand the difference between a cable guide and what is actually going to be on television.
I know.
The amount of times I had to explain that a cable guide is nothing more than an old-fashioned TV guide, and it's a guide. It's not definitely what is going to be there. It's like,
yeah, like
if you're watching,
who remembers TV guides other than us, you know?
But like if you're let's just say you're watching a sporting event, right? And it runs over, it runs into the next show. So therefore the next show isn't necessarily there on the TV guide. And what happened was TSN finally worked out what had actually happened was I wasn't allowed to talk about this, but TSN had done the deal with AEW, and this had been done a while ago, and the problem was it was TNT and TSN working out how the broadcast was going to come about. So that was a bit of the holdup between the two broadcasters. So it came down to, we're talking like the day before this deal happened for Canada, and TSN knew they were airing AEW, but because TSN, yes, they work with Bell Media, and if you had Bell, you might have got an update on your system, but they have to give out what's going to air on their station to Rogers, Cogeco, Shaw, and any other provider that is in Canada. Therefore, then that provider has to input the schedule and give an update to your system. Like, if you've ever noticed on your PVR, sometimes in the middle of the night, it will turn off and reboot itself. That is it updating your cable guide. And
yeah, just record the soccer game, people.
That's all I kept saying! Record the fucking soccer game!
Oh my God, we got Angry Agnew again.
The amount of times, Dave. Initially, I was like, because I was putting out, you know, nice tweets and nice things on Facebook saying, hey guys, here's what's happening. The guide might not be ready, but here's when it's going to be on. And the amount of people that people just, they don't read and they don't Google, and instead they just ask a random question. I now go out of my way not to bother people before I ask questions. You know, like, I'll do research first, and if I can't find the answer, I'll ask the fucking question. But for Christ's sake, people, just record the fucking soccer game if it doesn't pop up next week. Oh, my God!
Yeah, no, and granted, like, they didn't – I have Bell 5, and it didn't update at all. Like, right to when it started. Bell. Yeah, it still said that. Like, but seriously, like, you say that, and it's like these people, like, if brains were leather, they wouldn't have enough to saddle a June bug, as my grandmother used to say.
Whew, I tell you, that was very much a JR thing that you just said. I don't know what that meant, but that's a delay. Anyhow, so it came together at the last minute, but it's amazing. TSN's got it. They're airing it every week. They're doing it live. It's primarily on TSN2, and then there's one week that they've got up there that's going to switch over to TSN3, but it is great. It looked great. I think there were a couple of hiccups in production as far as coming back a little too early out of break. And when they would cut away on TNT in the American feed, they were doing picture-in-picture. TSN did not do that. I don't know if they have the capabilities to do that. So we lost some of what was happening. And we'll get into that when the first match comes around. But, Dave, you know, I've been saying over and over again on the Sunday Night's Main Event show, was there anything that NXT could do to take away your viewership from first going to AEW?
Originally, no. But looking back, I think they made the right choice with the way they started it, because there was no way that anyone could have come close to that Adam Cole and Matt Riddle match.
This was announced, I believe, on Wednesday itself, that was going to open up the show. And I agree. That is a wise and strong move by NXT, because you got Cole and Riddle. As we talked about on the weekend, Dave, that's the match that we wanted to see here in Toronto. We were getting.
Oh, yeah.
So if anything was going to make me switch back and switch away from Cody and Sammy Guevara, it was the title match. In particular, my curiosity with Matt Riddle, who I love, and Adam Cole is, you know, the heart and soul down there of NXT right now.
Oh, for sure. And like I said on Sunday with you, like, I didn't know who Sammy Guevara was at that time, right? Not taking anything away from him. He did a great job. That was a fantastic match. It's just, how can you even come close to the Cole and Riddle? Like, even just the names of that. I know it's NXT, but, like, come on. Like, I don't take Cody in the, oh, this is going to get me a lot of hate. I don't take Cody in the same bracket as these guys. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's me being a fanboy for life or anything like that. I still see Cody as Stardust.
Man, that I think that he separated himself from that a lot now. And if anything, Cody has become the statue, like the signature of almost, you know, he is the Jesus. You know, he is the savior. He is the savior of the modern wrestling era. He is the one to all the fans that are watching that decided to not just take this guaranteed money that he could have gone back and gotten, and instead took a risk, brought his buddies along with him, found Tony Khan, and he is the Jesus of this organization. He truly is the king of kings for the internet wrestling community. Never mind Triple H, he smashed that throne. So I didn't have a problem with Cody leading himself on this. You know, he is the face, he is the guy. But I thought NXT, what they tried to do is, because they were not the new kid in town, they decided to provide the work rate off the top. I think it was the wise move. I think we saw that kind of throughout the show today, last night, that they just wanted really great wrestling on it. But I have to say, when it came down to it, the first thing, it's my curiosity overwhelmed. And I was, you know, I watched these two things simultaneously, but along with the fact that WWE kind of left us in the cold here in Canada because we were not able to watch this on the WWE network, my attention was on the big screen, but I think my attention would have been that way regardless, whatever screen it was on, just because it was something new and I wanted to see if these guys were going to look major league. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
They were the major league look last night, and NXT, WWE, looked minor league simply because of the venue.
You think so?
Oh, yes. Dave, come on.
Okay, yeah. Granted, what Cody said, there was over 14,000 there last night, and I can totally see that. But I still love the feel of the Full Sail crowd in that. But I see what you're saying, and I can agree with that.
There's a major league look versus a minor league look here, and you just look at the size of that arena. And listen, I don't know if AEW is going to continue to pull off these crowds for years to come. I think they will for months to come, as the novelty going to every city for the first time will.
Right.
Excuse me, will be there. But I got a feeling after looking at those two shows last night, NXT has booked itself into Full Sail until the end of the year. And then after that, I would guess that NXT is going to be hitting the road as well.
Yeah, I felt with watching this show last night, the NXT I'm talking about, that they have moved up in the ranks. Like they were on par with everything. It felt like a, what would you call it? Like a takeover.
It was
almost.
A takeover. Like, it was
for
a takeover
sure. Last
night. Like, that's essentially what it was. There was a pre-show to it. You know, it felt like a takeover, especially the first hour with the limited commercial breaks, which they really made up for an hour
or two, God.
Let me tell you. and then there was the overrun, which we'll get into that later, because I don't think that did them any favors. But yeah, Dave, you're right. It did feel like a takeover, but you know, we're going to put a lot of emphasis, obviously, on reviewing this show this week, and a lot of people have. It's the start of the Wednesday night war. But honestly, next week is actually a bigger show because the novelty of both of these shows is removed. And they're both brought back to the reality of, oh, shit, we have to do 2 hours every week.
Yeah, exactly. Because like these coming 6 days is when people are going to be making their choices. They're going to be watching the shows again. And if they really liked it again like that, and then you start pulling apart, like, yes, AEW had the bigger crowd, looked bigger. But then you look at the work rate. And I think that NXT kind of beat them in that fashion anyway.
Work rate wise, yeah. And I can already let you guys know that you're listening right now. Next week, we are going to do another after show for this. And it'll be myself subbing in for Joe. So myself and Lavransky are going to do a midweek show that will cover. Well, I think Dan is just going to be watching AEW. I will. He was baffled at finding a stream last night. But, you know, he's an old fuck for a reason. So I will be watching both at the same time, and we will do a show. So if you're on the Patreon, then yes, you will be getting a review show next Wednesday night / Thursday morning as well. Okay, let's talk about the announced team to start things off. Tony Schiavone making his return to network television on TNT. You know, we've criticized JR a lot in his post-WWE era. His work with NXT has been subpar. I don't think anyone can say anything different about that. Last night, Tony Schiavone coming back, he has been working with MLW, and that must have been like stretching for him because this guy was in game shape.
Yeah, he really was. It seemed like he hadn't missed a beat, and he almost upped his game.
Yeah,
like,
he did. Honestly,
he
you know why?
He didn't feel like WCW. He didn't feel like that anymore.
Yes.
It felt like he actually knew. He did research. He understood. And he just like, he was really good. I really enjoyed him.
I think a lot of it was the Tony Schiavone that we're remembering from the dying days of WCW was a Tony Schiavone that was very frustrated with the on-camera product. He was fed up. He was probably done with it. He wanted to move on. He probably wanted to go and, you know, work for the Atlanta Braves and do other sports as he's done. Coming back to this is something that he's interested in, he's motivated by, and you can really tell this was the best Tony Schiavone last night. So good, in fact, I would say this was also JR's best performance since he's appeared on AEW as well.
Yeah, I agree. He did really well. And I was chatting with my buddy Danny, and he kept on saying, I cannot believe how good they sound together. And it's true. And even Excalibur was really good, too. And I like him a lot. I've liked him ever since he started watching the AEW stuff, and he's been on there. I think he's very knowledgeable, and he's got a nice cadence to his speaking in that.
Honestly,
I stumble over my own words.
Ironic in itself. But I think that Excalibur didn't have his best showing last night. But I think the three-man team, when he's man number three, like in the past, he's been man number one on all of these teams. Last night, I felt that Shivani was the number one. And he and JR traded back and forth. They were one and two. And Excalibur is left to be a number three. I actually think that the combination that is going to work here and should be my combo is a two-man team, and it's Shivani and Excalibur would be my choice.
Yeah, I could see that. Jim Ross is in his later years, but he still sounded good. But yeah, I really like Excalibur, and I guess they're going to find their rhythm as time goes on. And it's just, you know, like we always hate on somebody on the commentary team, and sometimes they'll just blow us out of the water as they get better and better, like Corey Graves did.
He really did. I mean, we had watched Corey Graves in NXT, and he was terrible when he first started.
Oh,
and then Corey Graves and Tom Phillips had a really sweet run in NXT,
which is why
I was quite surprised that they didn't reunite those two as the Raw combination, because that's kind of what I wanted to see. Corey Graves now just kind of an exaggerated version of what he used to be, and I find him quite overproduced, but I think everybody is in WWE. In going back and forth between the two brands, the difference in the commentating was pivotal for my enjoyment of watching the show. And that was because I really found it tough to watch NXT's commentating team. I had much more enjoyment. I found AEW to be really smooth, and I just found that NXT was, maybe it was too much excitement from Morrow, maybe it was too in your face, but I found NXT to be a little bit more relaxed with their commentators.
I can see that. The problem I had with NXT's commentating was Beth Phoenix. I found that she does not have her timing down yet, because she'll start talking over people. And like, you know, when you're in a conversation or you're doing what we're doing here and you hear somebody start talking, it's like, okay, stop, let them get their point, you know, and you go back. And she would just like bulldoze over no matter what. And Morrow's trying to get it in. And it got really bothersome for me there for a while.
All right, let's get into the actual show. So as we talked about, the way that I watched this, I was watching both at the same time, and I think my USA feed was a little bit delayed because one was coming through cable and one was coming through online. But I tried to – I want to do this a lot. I've heard some reviews already and read some reviews, and a lot of people are doing one then doing the other. So, Dave, what I want to do with what we're doing is really look at the comparison between the two and what was airing against what. Hopefully I've kind of got these synced up at least close. So the AEW broadcast, as we know, started with Cody versus Sammy, and then it was Riddle versus Adam Cole. To me, this was a way of establishing Sammy Guevara. It was also an ode to Cody for the fans, as we talked about. Perhaps not the best guy to put up against Cody, but as opposed to going backwards and using someone who has a name and a name that was built in WWE, this was someone new. And I think we saw by the end of the show what they were doing with Guevara here, and therefore he's becoming part of something bigger, and putting him in this match was step one to becoming part of that.
Yeah, Cody seems like the type of guy that would want to help the younger talent out. And I think that that's exactly what he was trying to do. And if it's got a long storyline in it with for Sammy Guevara to make his way up, I think it's a great idea, because it seemed like they focused a bit too much on former WWE for my taste anyway.
We'll talk about the swagger thing, Jake Hager, later in the show, because, there was a lot of debate about that, but that comes up in the last segment. I didn't have a problem with anything that they did, actually, because I think he's coming in as a new role, which we will get to. So this match ends. Cody gets the win here, which makes total sense. And then you have Guevara teasing the handshake and kind of getting in Tony and Cody's face, because Tony Schiavone came into the ring to interview Cody. And I like this because they looked like they were going to tease, Tony coming in and going, Cody, how great is this that we're back on TNT? But they didn't let it happen. Instead, Guevara interrupts, and then Jericho comes in and attacks. And what blew my mind here is this is what I was talking about earlier. I believe in the U.S., we got a picture-in-picture of the beatdown happening. In Canada, they cut to commercial. And
yeah,
was like,
abruptly, too.
Sorry. What? I am not done watching this. This is in the middle of your champion beating down the contender for the next pay-per-view and the Jesus of AEW getting beat down here. Like, why are you cutting away? I'm extremely interested right now. I want to know what happens. But I think that was an American-Canadian thing, Dave.
Yeah, it sounds like it, because there's no way that they would have intentionally done that. That's just bad booking decision or bad broadcasting,
broadcast,
in my mind.
Yeah. Now, on the NXT side of things, we had Riddle versus Adam Cole. It was the best match of the night. Period.
Oh.
I would say.
Oh, God,
you?
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Like, that was front to back, especially the last 5 minutes of that match. It just did not stop. It felt like, I said before, it felt like a takeover match, takeover quality. And I thought it flowed beautifully. They knew exactly what they were doing, and it blew me out of the water.
That's the right thing. The speed they were working at was, you know, if you had these two shows on at the same time, there was so much more happening between Cole and Riddle, I find, that they were just working at an advanced speed. I mean, I think they fell into a bit of the NXT mantra of doing, you know, overproducing their matches. I think there was a bit of overproducing going on, but you could tell these guys were out there. They knew it was important. It felt very important, and they were showing you that. They were both putting their best foot forward. It was great. I kind of wanted a change, but I didn't want
to. Oh, you wanted a championship?
You know what? I want Riddle to have that gold so badly, but along with that, I also want the Undisputed Era to keep solid gold, to go gold right across. So I was really torn with what I wanted to happen here. I have no problem with the way they went with the end here, but I'm also now wondering, like, does Riddle stick around or does Riddle move? Because we've also got two new contenders coming at Cole after this.
Well, that's the thing. Like with Riddle losing and the other arrivals that came in later on in the show, it's like, okay, so this first thing right off the bat, I thought, okay, well, with the draft coming, he's moving on. And I think that he should. I think he's ready. And I said that before to you. I just thought that he was like, he's wasted in NXT, I think.
I don't think he's wasted, Dave. I just think that, you know, if they're going to do a shuffle, I think that Riddle, after seeing what I saw on this show, I think Riddle could be part of that shuffle, mainly because of who's coming back. And that's what we're going to talk about here. You know, Cole wins, he defeats Riddle, and then, very surprising, Finn Balor makes his return. He's not a demon, he's just good old Finn Balor. This, to me, really denotes what I've been saying for the past month or so when the announcement was made for NXT, that it is no longer really a feeder system. This is a third brand. There's going to be guys moving around. I'm really curious as to how they fall into part of the draft now, because Balor's there, Balor's back. It's cool for night one, but does it mean anything? Like, are you excited about Balor? I took a step back. I'm like, you know what? I'm not that excited.
Okay. Well, when I first saw that, it was like, okay, why did Bray Wyatt really scare him that much? And he had to run to NXT or something like that. But it, as I thought about it, it seemed to make a bit more sense, because he was being wasted on the main roster. He didn't feel like a big man. Like, you've got the very first Universal title, championship holder, or whatever you want to call it, and they did nothing with him. It just felt like he was just floating around. At least in NXT, coming back as the longest reigning NXT champion in history, it builds something up. It gets me excited. I think it's a real neat thing to do, and I'm very excited to see what happens.
Now, I don't know if this is going to happen, and I'm leaning to the fact that it's not going to happen, but there was, and I forget the gentleman's name who posted up on our Facebook page. He's like, Balor's back. Clearly, he's going after Undisputed. And we had always talked about how is Ballard going to return? You know where I'm headed here. You know,
yes, I do.
Two scenarios. You mentioned the Fiend, right, being one scenario, and then he would return as the demon. But they don't want to do that. They're putting a lot of stock into the Fiend. The other way is he's just Finn Balor, and he's part of the club. And you know what? There's four club members with Balor, and there's four guys in Undisputed. And that could be, really cool. But I don't know if they're going to cross brands like that. They're not supposed to be doing stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's the draft. Draft's coming up. Maybe AJ
You think AJ and
you just put Balor. You just put Balor down there. Man. And like, okay. And now just talking with you right now, because I was watching a rewind or I was watching clips again, and they did the whole thing with what's the Walter's group called?
Imperium.
Coming in, and I'm like, oh, they've got four guys, and Undisputed has four guys. Yeah. Oh, wait, they're both heels.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. Oh, but if you bring in the club, everybody loves Balor, everybody loves AJ, and the other two are fine.
Hold on. The club are now heels as well.
Yeah, I know, but you bring them into NXT, Balor reclaims that, they become faces. You've got gang warfare, just like the Los Barriquas.
The Los Barriquas, DOA, and what was it, Nation of Domination? Was that the third one?
Yeah.
Or was it the Truth Commission? I don't remember. Man, that was a low point. Let's not go to a low point. Let's maintain. Let's stick high here. Let's continue on with NXT. So out of that, we had the Velveteen Dream promo. And he says he wants Roderick Strong. Okay, so remember, for many people, you're watching with two screens. And on my two screens at the time, this turned me off. I didn't want I love Velveteen Dream. I am a huge fan of his. I think he's wonderful. I love the character. I love his promos. But when he comes out and he's cutting a promo that leads him to talking about Roderick Strong, which is a program that I've seen sewn up and is done.
Yeah.
It's backwards for me. I don't want this promo right now. I don't want this angle again. I want Velveteen Dream on SmackDown or Raw.
Completely agree with you. Completely. He's great, like you said. Like he's taken, like Patrick Clark has taken this terrible character that he had way back when and turned into this Velveteen Dream and become such an amazing superstar, like an actual superstar that can sell, like I'm talking merch, and just like make great matches. And then you bring it, like he should be up there,
you know,
even more so than Matt Riddle.
If you think about, because I'm just having this thought about you know, going up there and the magnitude of what they're about to do tomorrow night, Friday Night SmackDown, it's going to be the highest rated show of the week. It's Fox.
For sure.
The Rock is back. Prices for tickets went through the roof when they announced that The Rock was going to be on it. If you remember back, so, you know, we're in such a mode right now of thinking back to the Monday Night War. And one of my favorite moments that I watched over and over and over again, and to this day, I think it is the greatest debut in WWE/WWF history. Who am I talking about?
Chris Jericho.
Yes, I am. So who did Chris Jericho interrupt?
The Rock.
The Rock. Who's on SmackDown tomorrow?
That would be Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson. Velveteen Dream interrupts The Rock tomorrow. It's the same scenario. It's like, sure, Jericho got a little bit embarrassed in that role, but the fact of the matter is he was made to look at the major league level because he came in and interrupted The Rock. And that's going to get – whatever The Rock does gets attention. If you want to attach a rocket to the back of Velveteen Dream, have Dream interrupt The Rock on SmackDown tomorrow night.
I like it. It works beautifully because even though – like putting down that the whole thing with him coming back into NXT and trying to get back to Roderick Strong. He did a really good promo. I thought it was really well done. So he has the chops to go up against The Rock, and I'd really like to see that. I think that would be really fun.
Well, there's my fantasy booking.
What are the chances? What are the chances do you think that happening? Probably none, right?
I'll make this a viral clip if it goes. Probably none, Dave. Probably 0.01%. Yeah. NXT then shows a promo for Drew Gulak versus Leo Rush for next week. Doesn't hook me at all. I'm thinking, like, let's the 205 Live title, the Cruiserweight title, do the TV shows need it? I don't know.
Okay, so is this show still on?
205 Live is going to be moved to 10 p.m. on Fridays. It'll tape after SmackDown. Or it'll go live after SmackDown.
And we'll be watching Main Event, right?
In Canada, we get Main Event for some reason.
But
205 Live is on the network.
On the network. Yeah. Okay,
Main Event airing on Sportsnet even less smart.
Okay, and now this is what I don't understand about this. Okay, you bring in Drew Gulak, who has wrestled a couple of matches in NXT, and he's a fantastic wrestler, and Lio Rush is Lio Rush. But it makes sense with, you know, you got your Pete Dunne and your Imperium, because that's NXT UK. But why is 205 Live coming in there? I think that does that give anything to the NXT brand?
I just think that 205 Live needs to be dissolved, and those performers need to be spaced out on all the different brands and be given some identity. And let's get rid of this title. Let's do a unification match for the North American title.
Okay, I could see that. Like, I don't want to take anything away from 205 Live, because it is an entertaining show. I do watch it, but yeah, you're right. There's no need for it. If they're putting so much emphasis on these three shows now, that one just seems a little, you know, like, just move it into everything else.
Yeah.
I guess took away my whole point of that story. Anyway.
Up next is Io Shirai versus Mia Yim. Two screens. Let's keep that in mind. Two screens.
Yes.
I begin to ignore this one for the next 15 minutes.
Me too.
I don't care. It's 15 minutes. I kept looking back and and just was like, it's still going? It's still going? It's still going? Shirai wins. I don't care. So let's talk about AEW. Meanwhile, in AEW, they run out MJF against the Velveteen Dream promo. I believe those synced up. I'm not 100% sure because, again, my feeds were off. But if I were to choose, I'll actually choose an MJF promo or a Velveteen Dream promo. And they're both wonderful, young, and gifted, but I'm really digging what MJF is doing. He is up against Brandon Cutler. There's debate here in regards to what happened in this match, whether Cutler hurt his knee. And they had to go to the finish early. It was only a 3-minute match. But I really just think that this match was put in place to make sure that MJF was given a promo and a spotlight on TNT, because this guy is going to be one of the main players on this roster.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, just having him cut that promo before the match, it gave me this feeling that he was somebody to look forward to. Like, I've watched him before, and I totally agree with you. He's a fantastic heel, and he knows his character, and he really knows how to put it across. And you're right. If it wasn't because of injury, this was totally just for MJF to get out there and talk and make people love him, because how could you not love this guy? He's so good.
Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes are at ringside. That's kind of cool, actually. To me, maybe because I'm just such a nerd. And I think this crowd is also such a nerd. Like, Kevin Smith is godlike. I grew up with Clerks. Like, Clerks was a huge influence on my career. So Jay and Silent Bob, they're at ringside. They're interviewed by Chris Van Vliet. Someone needs to tell Van Vliet that he has a microphone and he doesn't need to yell. What started as what I thought was a cool segment, I thought, really shit the bed. I hated this. Evans and Angelico come out to interrupt. So they kind of get in their face. And then Private Party walks through the crowd to defend them. But not now, my stream cut in and out. But from what I could get here, nothing really happened between these guys. And there was also, this didn't lead to a match between Private Party and Evans and Angelico.
Yeah, maybe they're looking forward to something in the future or something, but I totally agree with you. Like, and I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan. Like, I've seen Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back more times than I want to admit. I love that movie. One of my top five favorite movies of all time. But is Kevin Smith okay?
Man, he is so skinny.
Yeah. Like, looks like his skin has just fallen off of him.
Well, his doctors, you know, basically, he jokes about it. He's like, well, my doctor said either I lose weight or I'm going to die. So I decided to lose weight. But man.
Stop losing weight.
He's gaunt at this point.
Yeah, like his eyes
rebound a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was scared that he had cancer or something like that. It was really watching him. I'm like, oh boy. And he's not that much older than us. He can't be. Do you have any idea how old he is?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe 10 years. Maybe he's 50 yet. I don't know. I don't know. Anyhow, I didn't care for this. It was an okay promo, obviously. So Jericho is in their next movie with them, and that's why they were there and doing this, which is fun and cool. But, I just didn't care for the interaction between Private Party and Evans and Angelico. From there, the announcers hyped the tag team tournament. We have a fun SCU vignette in Washington.
Yes.
Scorpio Sky is doing, if you just close your eyes and listen to him, it's a very fun Barack Obama impression.
Oh,
and
so good.
Kazarian and Daniels are being like the Secret Service. They did their worst town line. That was a vignette. Then they bring them out on the ramp. I mean, it's taking advantage of being in Washington, which I thought was fun. They're out on the ramp. They're cutting a promo about being the best. The Lucha Brothers come up and get in their face. This segment was a fine segment. They brawl at the end. Oh, they also declared that it'll be Kazarian and Daniels in the tournament. Scorpio Sky is going to take a step back for the tournament. But, Dave, this isn't their first round opponents. These guys are on opposite sides of the bracket because SCU is facing the Best Friends. The Lucha Brothers are facing the Jurassic Express. So to me, this is outright foreshadowing, and that's your finals of the tournament.
For sure it is. I didn't even realize that until you said that right now. It's completely foreshadowing it, and they're building this up because they know that that's what's going to happen, and that I don't know if that's a good idea.
I don't mind it. I think
– yeah, but it's that doesn't it make you think like, well, why do I watch this if I know that this is exactly how it's going to end?
Well, you don't. I mean, you know, it's a baby face, and clearly SCU are the baby faces and Lucha Brothers are the heels, and, you know, it's heels interrupting baby faces, and it's just like they're all in the tournament, so, you know, they can have a conflict. But I actually see in a way that this was foreshadowing. I don't mind it. And I think that if you look at the brackets, those are the right two teams to go to the finals. And if it is, who do you put those titles on? You know, they've done heels with they did the heel with Jericho. They did a baby face with Riho, who we'll get to in a second, because I think that's a bad decision. So your tag titles, you can go either way here with SCU, who are popular, the crowd loves them, or the Lucha Brothers, who the crowd also loves and their work rate is high. So I don't know. I'm kind of good with either team, and I actually might be leaning towards SCU because I really like those guys. I really find them very fun.
I'll take the other side. I like the Lucha Brothers. I think they have a fantastic look and a fantastic feel when they're in the ring. I really enjoy their work. Not taking anything away from Daniels and Kazarian because they're fantastic too. But they're getting up there, and I think that they should probably put over the Lucha Brothers. Listen to the smarky talk and do that. But if you want fantasy booking, what I would love to see with what they did last night, I'd love to see Daniels and Kazarian, which are, like you said, on one side of the brackets and the other team on the other side, have them keep on interfering in each other's matches to make them win so that they have to face each other at the end.
I don't think you want all – part of AEW is really paying attention to wins and losses, and I think
they've got to
get away from all the, you know, the bad finishes. And we saw a very bad finish in the – main event, or at least a main event that was not there to be the main event as far as match goes in this. And I think they have to be careful of that. Last night's served its purpose, but I think they got to be careful about how many interference things and how many WWE-like things they do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You're right.
Pack, not Pac. Pack versus Hank.
I'm not going to get used to that. Used to that.
We're so conditioned to X-Pac. So Pack... this, I think, was a good match, perhaps the best match of the night on the AEW card. It suffered from my attention being on two different screens here. Like, I didn't really dig into this. And this, by the way, of course, was the match we were supposed to get at Double or Nothing, but Paige had to pull out. He's back. And clearly, one thing that this told me is they are making – sorry, not Paige. Pack pulled out. They're making him a superstar, though, because he went over Kenny Omega, and now he's gone over Hangman Page as well. I'm not sold on either one of these guys.
I think that Paige was hurt by the all the elite stuff that they did about him being out of shape and that, and coming in on a horse at the last pay-per-view, I think was ridiculous. And Pac, I still see as Neville.
And yeah, me too.
Cruiserweight champ.
Yep.
You know, I love his stuff. I think he's a really good wrestler, but I think that there's still the WWE stink on him, if I can say that.
Yeah, you know, it's even more so. There's the WWE cruiserweight stink on him.
There you go. He's still purple.
Like, I'd say that I actually, in my opinion, from what I've watched and what I've taken out of this, I feel as though Sean Spears has removed himself more from WWE than has Pac.
Was he on this card?
No.
That's
odd. Here today. Okay. So I believe that match, at least in part, went up against NXT's Johnny Gargano versus Shane Thorne. Now,
hooray.
I've heard that this match, I've gotten some feedback that this match was delightful.
Yeah.
These two working against one another, they worked really well together. Johnny Gargano always putting out great matches, despite the fact, Dave, I know you don't like him. But to me, this was a filler match. And something that both WWE and now AEW have to be careful of, if you give me filler, I'm going to go to the other show.
To me, I can see that.
I don't think they know what to do with Gargano at the moment.
I think that, in all honesty, I think that Gargano is in a holding pattern because he's getting drafted.
Oh, you think so, huh?
Yeah, because they did that WWE exclusive afterwards where Johnny Gargano came out and thanked the fans and everything like that with the Street Profits, and I think they're both gone.
He has said in a promo to the NXT crowd that he is sticking around in NXT.
Yeah, he said that last night as well. But like, think of just remember how many times we've been swerved in the back in the past, but. Getting back to this match, and I know I don't really like Johnny Gargano. I loved this match.
Did you? I thought it surprises me to hear you say that.
I thought it was great. And Shane Thorne, holy crap, did he ever show me a lot last night. I thought he did great. I thought he was on point with everything that he did. Now, what was the other guy's name from The Mighty Don't Kneel?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, okay. But exactly. This guy, I think this match was just to make him look that much better because my God, did I ever like this match. He did such a good job. And even Johnny did a good job in this one. And if it means he leaves the NXT, then I'm happy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're obviously not a big fan of them. what do we have under there? Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste were their names when they were the Mighty Don't Kneel. I don't know what their names were necessarily in NXT because I can't remember. And changing everyone's names is absolutely ridiculous, as they like to do. Shane Haste became Shane Thorne, and Nick Miller is where
Nick Miller.
Nick Miller is what they call.
Wow,
him.
You can't get more generic than that, eh?
Alrighty, AEW at this point, after the Hangman Page and Pac match, went into their women's championship match. They're crowning their first women's champion here. It's Nyla Rose versus Riho. But before we get into this, we have Britt Baker that shows up on commentary and says absolutely nothing through the entire match.
Oh, come on. She probably said about two or three things.
It was like, this was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, as far as if you bring someone out to commentary, they should have a purpose and have a point.
Yep.
And the announcers teed it up like, Britt Baker's here. Clearly, that's the next challenger. For whomever wins, Britt Baker's next. She said nothing. Absolutely nothing. I forgot she was there. I even forgot more because at the end of the match, she's not the one who ran down to save Riho. Instead, it was Kenny Omega, which I'll get to in a sec because that was ridiculous. But why didn't Britt Baker do that?
Yeah, no, well, that would have made too much sense, I believe, because it wasn't even that, I thought maybe she was nervous and her mic wasn't working, but there was no spot for her to say anything.
And that's on the announcers, though, because the announcers should also be teeing her up. If you put a performer in the announcer position who is not comfortable being there, and I mean everyone is new to everything that they are doing in AEW, that's really on JR and Shivani. Who's ever the quarterback there has got to throw them some softballs in order to get them talking, because she offered nothing.
Yeah, true story. You're right.
Rio, to me, is another Kairi Sane. She's too small for me to take seriously, especially in a match like this. Nyla Rose just feels like Nia Jax. She's big and she's inexperienced. I hated this. Now, yeah. I don't know. All I've heard is the crowd loved it. A lot of people really enjoyed the David and Goliath match here, but I had zero time for this.
I agree with you. I had nothing. Like, it just did nothing for me whatsoever. And then the end with Rio winning, that I just shook my head at that. I thought that Nyla Rose would be a better choice as your first AEW Women's Champion. I thought that, like, just the press that you would get on that alone is fantastic. But I guess they didn't want to go down that. They wanted to, I have to watch myself right now.
No, I talked about this on the show, and actually, you know, I did a rant about 3 or 4 weeks ago about AEW should be careful about how much they are pushing Nyla Rose as a transgender performer. And to their credit, they've said nothing about it. But the press that they could have gotten here is other media covering them and showing that this is pushed. And you don't necessarily have to do it on your first champion, but I kind of thought they would, seeing how inclusive this organization is. Also, it's her hometown.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do that? Like, it makes so much sense. Like, just the press alone is worth doing that. Like, like I said, I shook my head. I was like, how could they have put that on Rio, who, like, that belt is bigger than she is?
Well, it was pretty funny because I think if Rio got the belt, it was bigger than her. But if Nyla got the belt, it would have looked like a toy. Like, the size difference between these two. You know, though, they backed themselves into a corner here, not necessarily in a bad way, but let me throw these at you. First of all, you have a David versus Goliath style match. And in that match, David is supposed to win. So that's one point. Along with that, you've already seen AEW crown their heavyweight champion as a heel, and it's Chris Jericho. And he's very dominant, and he's great at his role. So Nyla was – the crowd is behind her the last time she wrestled, but this time she was playing the heel because she is Goliath. And do you want your women's champion and your men's champion to both be heels, crowning you two of your champions, your first two champions, both heels, and having babyface Chase in both divisions?
Yeah, so that's probably a good point.
There's a lot that kind of went behind this here, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess that depends on how long that they're planning on Jericho keeping this belt as well, right? So, like, Nyla can chase, but I think that Rio would have been better in the chase.
Yeah, and you know what?
Future.
Let's go back to Jericho for a second here. Let's go back to Pac, because Pac wins. Pac wins against Hangman Page. Pac wins against Kenny Omega. Pac is the next guy who should have a title shot. And Jericho's your champion. Those are two guys that are 100% heels. So I don't see Pac getting a shot against Jericho right now. So he's in a bit of a holding pattern until that title flips to a babyface.
Oh, for sure. So, like, does that mean that this is going to be, what do you call it, Cody and Jericho? Is that where they're going with that?
Yeah,
with
no. That is the main event on the next show, on the next pay-per-view.
The pay-per-view. Okay, yes. So not next week.
The next pay-per-view, it's Cody versus Jericho, and that's why they've done that build. So, I mean, that makes complete sense. I'm just curious, if they're building up Pac that much, he should do an undefeated streak and then make his way to a title shot just right now. That would be an awkward match versus Jericho. Okay, back to the women's side of things, though. So the crowd is super into this. I kind of thought it was sloppy. I didn't like it. I didn't find it believable. I found that I was watching Nia Jax versus a girl who's going to Anime North. Or that's an anime convention here in Toronto.
Yes.
That's what I see. I can't buy in. I'm sorry. I can't buy in. It's not for me. This match was not for me, but the crowd loved it. Then at the end of it, so Riho wins, And Michael Nakazawa comes out to interview Riho. Nyla attacks him, goes for a powerbomb, which, now, I mean,
yeah,
did this look awful to you?
Oh, totally awful. But can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Who's Michael Nakazawa?
So he is on their card, and what I thought that they were doing here, he's on their roster. What I thought they were doing was that he was going to provide the translation. So to that, I guess it kind of made sense. But then, as Nyla is going to go after Riho, the person that comes out for the save is Kenny Omega. There was, in my opinion, there was no worse decision on either show tonight than seeing Kenny Omega for the first time on national television, on TNT, on AEW, running out to make a save when he's the very next match.
Yeah. Like, is that the only, like, is it just, oh, I'm going out anyway, I'm going to stop this? Like, I could not agree with you more. It didn't make any sense.
The rationale behind it is that for those of us that are on the inside of the outside or the outside of the inside, Kenny Omega is the person that is in charge of recruiting the women and putting the women's division together. So,
ooh, I didn't know that.
Exactly. See, you didn't even know that. I knew that. I've taught, you know, Kenny was on Sunday night's main event. We talked about that, and that's known to real insiders. So that is, to me, watching this, what I took out of it. But to you, it's a great example of, why is Kenny there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should have made some kind of statement that he was taking care of the female wrestlers or the booking in that area. And that would, then I'd be like, oh, okay, he's taking care of his talent. But other than that, I just got nothing out of it. I'm like, what the heck?
So on the NXT side of things, I believe it was very close, and there was an overlap here, that Candice LeRae versus Shayna Baszler was happening. To me, this just blew away the AEW women. It wasn't quite David versus Goliath, but it was a bully versus a babyface. And Dave, I was saying it on the weekend, one of the things that I expected from NXT tonight was a title change, and I thought it was going to be here.
Yeah, we were texting at the same time they were watching this, and you're like, oh, you're going to be able to see the title change.
Yeah, because you just don't like the whole couple of Candice and Gargano.
No, but getting back to Gargano again, this match, loved. I loved it. And I love Candice LeRae, too. She did such a good job in this match. So good.
And so you keep Shayna here as your, you know, Shayna is the Brock Lesnar of the WWE Women's Division.
Oh, for sure.
She's still relatively inexperienced and green, better than her two cohorts. But man, she keeps this title. I much preferred this match over the one on AEW. And now I'm looking at it like, who's next? Is it for Shayna? Like, who takes this title off her? Is it going to be Tegan? Is it going to be full circle? Because we got Tegan Knox and we got Dakota Kai vignettes tonight on this show. Is Dakota Kai, like, after all of this, is the shiny, happy baby face the one to take it away, the underdog here, the one that they, you know, the new Bayley that they're not going to make the mistakes on, hopefully, this time?
Oh, come on. They're going to make mistakes. Well, maybe, yeah, I could see that. Dakota Kai, she's got a really big following. I had no idea. And she's all right. I don't mind her. Maybe they trade somebody in. Well, not trade, but draft somebody in to go up against Baszler. But you're right, because like the first thing that I would think would be Bianca Belair. But we've done that already.
You don't want that.
And actually, nobody wants to see that again.
And I'm not sure when it came about here in the show tonight, but for the first time, I believe, Montez Ford and Bianca Belair were seen on camera together arriving.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool. Hey, it was so funny because those two have so much charisma.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Angelo Dawkins might as well just carry their bags.
Yeah, yeah, he's the badge porter.
he's like Brutus Beefcake, like to Hulk Hogan. He just like, just, if they're driving a motorbike, Montez is driving, Bianca's on the back, and in that little sidecar, the bitch car, that's where Angelo Dawkins is.
Oh, my God, that'd be so good.
Like, that's what's happening here. Anyhow, I'm very curious to see if those two are put together, because my God, do they have, they just have so much charisma. Yeah. It's the polar opposite of what Seth and Becky have.
Oh my God.
I just want to turn off the television when I see Seth and Becky. With these two, I was like, oh man, are they going to cut a promo together? Because I don't think I can handle it.
Oh, that'd be so good. Yeah, I'd love to see them go up against Seth and Becky.
We then get a promo for Walter versus Kushida next week, and then Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch. Remember what I said about holding patterns and fillers? Because
right.
Danny Burch is a tag team guy, and now I'm watching a tag team guy versus Pete Dunne, who's a superstar. So you kind of know what's going to happen here, but ultimately, sure, it was hard hitting. That's how these guys work. But really, this match was just in place for the finish, where we had Damian Priest, that's Punishment Martinez, attack Pete Dunne. And that looks to be the next feud for these two guys, Pete Dunne versus Damian Priest. We'll see how they build it. Right now, I have no reason behind it.
Yes. No, nor do I. But I really, 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 really like Damian Priest. I think he's great. I liked him better as Punishment Martinez. I think that's a better name. But it got me excited. I'm very excited to see this match because I think they're both really good in the ring.
Flipping back over to AEW, it's main event time there. And it's Jericho and, well, formerly Mystery Partners, which they announced earlier in the day. It's Santana and Ortiz, which I have no problem with, versus the Bucks and Kenny Omega. Now, we had already seen Jericho and Omega on the show, and I thought Jericho's appearance was very good earlier in the show. As I just said, Omega's was horrendous. And ultimately, Dave, this was the main event, but the match itself didn't matter. This was all here to further on storyline. I did, however, like at the beginning the tease of Jericho and Omega in the ring together, but not working. I loved it. I love that. I love that. Yeah. It's so good. You know that's where they're going, and it's the right move.
Yeah. Oh, completely. I think I'm salivating to see that match. Like, just salivating. I'm so excited.
And honestly, Dave, I think that, you know, as I now look back at what I was talking about before with Pac, Jericho versus Omega has to happen eventually, and I don't know how soon it's going to be, and Omega's going to win that title back in the rubber match, and Omega's first contender is going to be Pac, because at the last pay-per-view, Pac defeated Omega.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I didn't even think of that. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm kind of confused after all this.
Well, I think that that's a pretty logical way to go. And if AEW has really kind of taught me anything at this point, I think the booking storylines are long term, and I think they are logical, and they won't be changing their mind, you know, 20 minutes before the show and rewriting scripts. What we did get out
Nobody
of this,
does that.
No. What we did get out of this, though, within the middle of the match, again, as I said, the match really didn't matter because Omega was in the ring and Moxley comes in. This was the match that we didn't get to see at the last pay-per-view, but we're seeing it at the next pay-per-view. They brawl out of the ring. They go to the VIP area, and then Moxley puts them both through a glass coffee table. Hopefully it was candied glass. Then they disappeared.
Yeah, and he put him through with a dirty deeds or whatever he's calling it now, which he lands on his back.
Yeah.
In glass.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Well, I think that's a bit of Moxley's MO, is he's willing to hurt himself in order to hurt the opponent more. I think he's a bit of a masochist character.
A little bit, yeah.
But they lay each other out, or he lays Omega out, and did I miss it? We never saw them again.
No, they didn't. I didn't see them at all.
And also, when that happened, I needed a split screen because this is why I said that main event match didn't matter, because at that point, you lost track of what was happening in the actual match when these guys were fighting to the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then baffled that, you know, you go to commercial break, you come back, and you never see them again.
Yeah, it's like Omega's such a big star. You'd think that they'd want him right there. Like, I understand they want to build up Jon Moxley and make a big feud and everything, but he should have come back at some point.
No, I don't think he should have come back. I just wanted an update on what was happening. Like, is he taken away? Oh, okay. Is Moxley walking? Like, I just want to see more of what happened there. To me, they're still lying there. They're still lying there.
Yeah, they're
today.
still lying. Nobody
there.
Picked them up.
Care of. Meanwhile, back
they're just
to the
sweeping
match.
Around them.
That's it. It's a 3-on-2. The Bucks do a bunch of super kicks and they give fans what they want. But upon going for the Meltzer driver, they get caught with the
code breaker.
Yeah, code. It was the code breaker, right?
How fantastic was that though? That looked so well done. I loved it.
It was great. It made total sense. It's over. So it's a 3-on-2, continuing on with the beatdown after the match. Cody runs out to make the save. Guevara runs out to low blow Cody. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Dustin comes out to a huge pop. Can you, though, tell me, Dave, why he was in his ring gear?
He just walks around in it all the time.
I guess so, okay.
he's like, what's the guy? I'm not booked. What was that guy's name? Remember?
Dwayne something?
Oh yeah, you know the guy. He's like, I'm not booked, but I'm in my gear. I'm ready. I'm ready. Somebody want to put me on?
So, yeah.
Terrence Stamp.
Oh, that was in. It was in Impact,
Wrestling with
right?
Shadows.
No, so you're talking Dennis Stamp.
Dennis Stamp. What I was talking.
You
yeah,
know, they did a thing in Impact though with the fat guy with the mustache. I think was parodying that. He was always working out backstage.
Oh, I never saw.
I can't that. Remember. Anyhow, okay, so back to this. Dustin comes out to a huge pop. He's in his ring gear. And then it is Jake Hager, Jack mm-hmm. Swagger.
Yes.
I have never noticed. This is why, you know, WWE being the land of giants.
Yeah,
I have never noticed how huge
massive
Hager is. He's giant compared to everybody else. He powerbombs Dustin through a tiny little table that doesn't break properly. So before we get into what happened after that, what did you think of here is another WWE guy? And we were touching on this at the beginning. You said at the beginning of the show, you thought they did this a little bit too much. Was this too much for you?
A little bit, but I see what they're doing. They're taking guys that were underutilized, I think, because although, you know, it's Jack Swagger, but I think they've got something in because he is talented. I've enjoyed his matches before in the WWE, and I think that they're just taking the guys that were underutilized and trying to build them up into the stars that they should have been, because I think that's one of the MOs of this company, is that if you properly use your talent, you can get a fantastic show. And I think it's a nice little addition. Because he's been – how long has he been away from the WWE now? It's been years, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's already had 2 Bellator fights, so I think we're upwards of 3 years at this point.
Yeah, so it's – why not? Why not? It's not like they're pulling, like, guys right out of the roster. So this one, yeah, sure, why not?
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
So you have at the end – like, so he comes into me, and what was different about him here is he looks like he's playing a different role. I got a real Diesel vibe. To Shawn Michaels is Jake Hager to Chris Jericho.
Ooh, yeah, I could see that. That'd be great to have him as his bodyguard because he stands head and tails over Jericho, like height-wise anyway. I think that would be really good.
They really pushed the fact they did not mention WWE. Instead, they mentioned Bellator. They mentioned
perfect.
The fact he's undefeated in Bellator. He does have another fight coming up, so hopefully he wins that one as well so they can keep saying that. But
fingers
then,
crossed.
At the end of this, you have standing tall at the end, Jericho, Hager, Guevara, Santana, Ortiz. It looks like a faction. And AEW then released a viral video afterwards of these 5 guys walking backstage together.
Having bubbly and hot dogs?
Not yet. Tony Khan also, I read a few things with Tony Khan saying afterwards, hey, don't they look good together? More on that later.
Well, he tweeted out that Jake Hagar was signed before All Out.
Yeah. So they held off on it. So, you know, they always had this plan. But it's a faction. And it's an interesting group of guys. I don't think I'd necessarily have a problem with putting Hagar and Jericho together. Because you get, again, the Diesel and Shawn Michaels thing. Guevara is the one that I believe that they're looking to elevate out of all of this and be your new star. And Santana and Ortiz are one of the best tag teams in the business right now. It's – they don't – listen, this might change, but upon first look, they don't look like a faction as far – they don't kind of fit together. You know what I mean? Like, these guys, I don't know if they'd hang out at a bar together.
Yeah, no, I know, right? It's like a real mishmash of a family.
It's a bit
of
a motley crew that's happening there. Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
So I don't know. I'm curious to see. There was I rewound and watched this segment over again just to see if the announcers slipped in any interesting words that would maybe become the faction's title. And the only thing that JR did say is like, for lack of a better term, these henchmen. I'm like, well, that's not going to be it.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's no. You think of Batman, the 60s series, yes. And you hear henchmen, right?
Yes.
So that's how we ended up with AEW. These guys looking like they're a faction, looking strong, heels on top, cool. So
yeah, good way to end the show. I thought that was all right.
But it wasn't over as far as the night went because – you could flip back over to NXT, and well, we would have to rewind a little bit because NXT decided to do an overrun. But their main event was the tag titles, the returning Street Profits, who of course you know from talking backstage at Raw, versus Undisputed, Fish and O'Reilly. Wale wraps these guys out to the ring. Oh, man, I got no problem with this alignment. Wale with them is great. He elevates them, and Montez Ford is just, I can't say enough
about, I know, right?
How exquisite a performer Montez Ford is.
Wow, that's really, really well put.
He is, listen, okay, he just has the chance to be at an elite level and an elite level of star. And I think that what WWE needs to do is look at what they have, hide any weaknesses he has, push all of his strength, and slowly let him soar through the tag. Do an old-timey Michaels or Hart thing where it's the tag ranks, it's the Intercontinental Championship, it's the championship, and he is leading a brand and basically the face of the organization. I know it's very early to say that, but I've just not seen someone show up with that gift of gab and that amount of charisma that early in their career. And I don't know, since Dwayne.
Yeah, I agree. And like, just even his silly dances, his movements and everything like that, I can't take my eyes off him. I think he's fantastic, but I'm still trying to figure out what the smoke is.
Oh, I don't know. They want the smoke, though.
Yeah.
They want it. All righty. So let's talk about this. So there's an overrun here. This match goes 20 minutes. And I don't think the overrun really did them any favors. I guess people are going to switch over and see it. But I didn't want to watch any more wrestling at this point.
Oh, seriously. This match was so good, though.
Nah, I didn't want any more. Also, you know why, Dave? I really didn't want any more because I didn't believe for a second that after the Street Profits have appeared on Raw for the past 2 months or 3 months or however long they've been there talking behind the scenes, that they're coming back to NXT. They're not. And therefore, they're not winning here. If Cole is not losing the title, Strong didn't defend his, well, these guys are not losing their title. Undisputed is NXT. NXT is undisputed. Therefore, the Street Profits to me didn't have a chance, and I sat there waiting for this show to finish.
All right. You got me there. I thought the same thing. Like, I enjoyed the match. They worked their asses off, and they proved why, like these guys are the best. Like, Fish and O'Reilly, they could... I'd love to see them versus LAX. I think that'd be a great match. But, there was no reason to think that the Profits would even win this, would even come close.
Well... after this, we have the, O'Reilly and Fish retain. And after it, I think, is where one of the most notable moments happens. And
yes.
That is the return of Tommaso Ciampa. So Ciampa comes out on the ramp. He walks by Adam Cole. He's confronted by him, but no physicality for Ciampa. So Adam Cole now holding the title, has Balor come back and challenge him. And along with that, they have Ciampa in the mix as well.
Yeah, and this whole thing right here made me more excited to watch NXT than AEW made me excited to watch their show. Just because of that, I thought it was great. And Ciampa was so fantastic how he didn't even look at Adam Cole. He just stared at Goldie the whole time. And then at the end, he looked up at him. I thought that was so well done.
Can he wrestle right now?
I have no idea.
Me neither. Like, the guy, and you know, he's had such, his body has taken so much punishment and he's breaking down. And it's unfortunate because, you know, now's the time when he's able to be seen by the most people he ever has in his career. And he's amazing at what he does, but his body is failing him right now.
Yeah, he's like Samuel Jackson's superhero character or whatever it is, Mr. Glass.
Yeah, he's like made of glass. There you go.
Yeah, it's a shame because I'm sorry. I'd love – well, maybe he can do a three-way, right?
Doesn't that – I'm wonder. I think Balor's
good. How good would that match be? That match would be amazing. Come on, three of them in it?
It would be very interesting, especially even character-wise it would be interesting because the crowd loves to hate Ciampa. They love Cole's catchphrases, but also they know he's the bad guy. But they, you know, you also want to see Cole retain because he's Adam Cole, baby. You want Ciampa to get Goldie back because he worked so hard for it and it was taken away when it shouldn't have been taken away. And Balor, well, he's there. I'm sorry, Balor. They just really have not done a good job with Balor.
No, he didn't on the main roster, and I think this is a reboot, and I think it's going to help him a lot.
Well, we shall see. Anyhow, we have talked a very long time about this, but I have to say, it was refreshing. It was fun last night to watch two things at once. And, you know, it felt fun to be a wrestling fan again, as opposed to a lot of this. You know, we talk about it, we complain about it, we do it for work. But I was legitimately excited last night, and I'm looking forward to next Wednesday. I'm looking forward to next Wednesday more than Monday or Friday, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Anyhow, David, thank you for taking time out of the middle of your day to chat with me. And you will be back on the show very shortly. I can't remember which one we said, but you'll be back on a Sunday very shortly. People can also hear you, of course, on Call to Arms.
Yeah, Call to Arms with Danny Williams. You can follow us at Call to Arms. You can follow me at BartenderDave74. And it is always a pleasure to speak with you, Mr. Agnew.
Alrighty, guys. A follow at SNME Radio on Twitter and join the group on Facebook. And if you're not a patron yet, patreon.com/SNME Radio. Myself and Dan Lavransky will be doing an after show on Sunday, our regular slot, live on TSN Radio, taking your phone calls about Hell in a Cell, which I don't think anybody cares about. More so about this great week in the world of wrestling. We'll be taking your phone calls on Sunday night. So join us Sunday at 11 p.m. As I always like to say, don't you dare miss it.